Hello, I am the penis of William Gallas, and I would like to apologize to all the Arsenal fans. I know that there have been times this season when I have not been at my proud and mighty best, but this is a problem that happens to even the best of us. Erectile dysfunction can be terrible for a man and his partner. But don't take my word for it. Here is my friend, the penis of Matthew Flamini.
Hello, I am the penis of Matthew Flamini. And for 3 years, I suffered from periodic bouts of limpness and flaccidness. But then I got some help, and ever since my penis has been mighty and virile. In fact, it is so incredible that this Italian woman called me up and said, "Hey, come and meet me." So I went to meet her, and I screwed as much money as I could out of that bitch. Ooh la la.
Hello and welcome to another Arsblog Arscast on arsblog.com, in association as always with oleole.com. It will be a little bit more than in association with from next week, but a little more on that to come. Coming up on this week's show, a chat with Good Player from goodplayer.com, in which we talk about Keith Adelman. Was it really a dispute with Arsene Wenger that saw him get the sack? Does Arsene want more money? Does Keith not want him to have it? Who knows? Good Player tries to shed some light on that as well as some discussion about Flamini, Eboué, and the season in general. We've got Eboué as well. We've got the man in the bar who's got a player history. There's a tale of the unexpected and some other stuff as well. Quite what the other stuff is at this stage, I, as usual, just do not know. I'd like to surprise you. In fact, this week I might surprise you by there not being any other stuff at all. That would be a surprise. Well, in one way it would be a lie as well, wouldn't it? But, you know, all depends on your perception of things like that. So, between the last Arscast and this Arscast, what has happened? Well, we are out of the title race. We were hoping for miracles last weekend, but Manchester United and Chelsea both won their games. Pretty much as expected, West Ham rolled over and took it up the arse for Manchester United. 10 men, Manchester United fucked them over big time. It was fairly shit from West Ham, but in fairness, they do have about 18 players out injured at the moment. Chelsea, they beat Newcastle on Monday night, so it means the best we can do is finish in third. It also means that the best we can do is finish on 83 points, which is a nice round number, having beaten Everton 1-0 on Sunday. A proper end-of-season game. It really was. Dull as dishwater, livened up only by the goal from Nicholas Bentner, a good cross from Armand Traore, and Bentner arrived on time to head the ball into the net with his head, which is, you know, that's what headed goals are all about, you see? And he does have that knack, doesn't he, of arriving on time and boom, he's good at that. That's not to say that other strikers can't do it too. Adebayor scored some headed goals this season too. But Bentner's, they just have that bit more headiness about them. I don't quite know how to explain it. The boredom of the game, or the tedium of the game, was livened up rather by watching in O'Neill's in Suffolk Street here in Dublin. We had a good enough turnout of Dublin Irish bloggers. So, you know, we were able to crack jokes and laugh at people and things. And then, you know, occasionally turn our eye towards the television where this dreadful feast of football was going on. Nice touch from the manager to let Jens Lehmann on for 20 minutes at the end. He replaced Lucas Fabianski for what was his final Arsenal appearance. He said he got quite emotional when he was saying goodbye, and why wouldn't he? He's been here for 4 years. Is it 4 years? 2003? 5 years? 4 years? No, it's 4 years, isn't it? Anyway, whatever number of years, it's a good number of years. And he played a lot of very good games for us. Things didn't really go as well as he would have expected this season. But, you know, he's a proper character. You have to say that. And I said it on the blog that, or maybe I've said it somewhere else, I don't know. But a lot of footballers, do you remember when tennis players used to be all fucking mad? You had McEnroe, Ilie Anastasi, Henri Leconte. Henri Leconte, he was my favourite ever. French player until I realised his name wasn't a swear word. But you had all these guys who were real, real characters, and then now they're all just these, you know, bland, sort of hitting the ball back and forward really hard guys. And not any of them really have any sort of personality to them. And football's going the same way, I think. Sadly, and Jens, like him or not, he was a real character and provided us with some great moments footballistically and non-footballistically and some hilarious bits and bobs. When we look back at them, we'll go, fucking hell, that was funny, really, that mad cunt. So good luck to Jens. He'll be playing in Euro 2008 this summer, and I wish him all the best and with whatever it is he decides to do after that. Matthew Flamini, he's gone. AC Milan. Massive, massive money to a massive, massive club, though, as well. He flew out after the lap of honour, or the farewell after the game against Everton. He looked a bit sheepish doing that. He's gone to AC Milan, and good luck to him. Some more discussion with Good Play about the Flamini situation. Leb, we don't know. The manager says he wants to keep him, but according to all the reports and according to all the information we're getting, he wants to leave. And although the manager thinks Leb doing a Webster would be unlikely, I think that's what he's going to do, to be honest. And maybe it's breaking the sort of gentleman's agreement where the other club won't come after a player who's under contract. But all it takes is for one club to not be so gentlemanly and say, well, look, these are the rules. All we're doing is abiding by the rules. So we'll pay Hleb's last 2 years of contract and he can come play for us. And maybe that's what'll happen. Inter Milan, of course, the team interested in him. So while there are still futures to be decided, and there are, Hleb and Gilberto and possibly one or two more, discussion can wait, because after this Sunday, there is no more football. However, after this Sunday, there are many Fridays. And on Fridays, there are Arsecasts. And for Arsecasts, you need football. More or less. So, to talk about who might be going and where they might be going, why they might be going there, who might be coming in to replace them, and when they might be coming in to replace them, I'm not going to start talking about that now. I'm not going to use up all my good stuff. What the hell am I going to talk about during the summer then? It'll have to be, you know, ooh, what was the best bath you took this season after we've done, you know, goal of the season and player and all that stuff. See what I mean? So that can all wait. So still to come on this show, a little bit more info about the Ole Ole deal. We've got Aboué, the man in the bar, other stuff as well. Remember the other stuff that there might be or might not be? That could just be a lie. You'll have to wait and see. But now, we'll go and talk to Good Player from goodplayer.com. Did that just go bing? Did. Oh, there was a torrent just finished downloading. It was a legal torrent. It certainly wasn't an episode of Family Guy. Anyway, Good Player from goodplayer.com. Hello.
Hi there.
Now, on your blog yesterday, you had an interesting little story, a possible dispute between Arsene and Keith Edelman, and that brought about the departure of the managing director. Can you shed a bit more light on it?
Well, I've been told a couple of places that it's certainly Arsene's protestations of all innocence over this are probably not exactly true, if you like. It certainly seems to have been a disagreement between the two over money. Now, what surprised me when I was told was that Arsene seemed to be angling for more money, if you like, and the dispute was whether there was more money. And in the past, as I understand it, Keith has kind of jokingly told people in private, you know, that he can't get Arsene to spend the money. So it's slightly confusing from that point of view, but there was certainly a disagreement, and it seems that the board sided with Arsene, and Keith is out, if you like. Although I'm also told, and I don't know how true this is, that the stuff about him staying around for a year and still being involved, there may be some truth in that he's not necessarily just marching off into the sunset completely right now. So we'll have to see about that. It's all a bit vague and typically vague coming from Arsenal.
Yeah, there are some, I mean, there's stories, I don't know if you read them, about, you know, they were likening his departure to that of David Dean in the sense that, you know, his nameplates were being taken off his seats and, you know, his desk was being cleared and all that sort of stuff.
Well, I think that, yes, and I think that seems to be the way that they do things. I remember George Graham was at his desk cleared very, very quickly. He was out of the club within something like 45 minutes of being fired back in 1995. It's slightly unclear because there has been the stuff about him going completely. There's also been the stuff about him serving out 12 months. And as I said, I've heard that he would still have some involvement in some way in terms of the financial side, but I mean, it's unclear, and I suppose different parties have different takes on it.
Yeah, and we have Peter Hillwood again saying now that, you know, whatever money Arsene wants to spend, it's there for him to spend. So, again, there seems to be quite a lot of confusion about exactly what's happening. Do you think possibly there's, how will I say this, an outside influence or more than one outside influence creating a bit of confusion around where the club stands financially and what's going on at boardroom level?
I don't know, is the honest answer. I mean, there's obviously the looming presence of Konka, of Usmanov, and it's a bit unsettling. I mean, there's no reason for the club to come out and tell everyone how much money they've got. That's an absurd thing to do, because that simply makes people ask more money of you when you try and sign anyone. Just look at Chelsea. So
yeah.
I don't really know the answer to that one.
Okay, fair enough. Money was an issue with Matthew Flamini. Arsene suggested that he left, not for footballing reasons, but for more money. We do have a wage structure in place. There obviously are limits that you can go to when you're offering players wages, because other players will want more and more. What's your take on the Flamini thing? Because I think fan opinion of him is quite divided at the moment. There are those that think he's done, you know, just what he was perfectly entitled to do, respected his contract, and there are others that are thinking he's a bit of a money-grabbing little cunt.
Well, let's be honest here. I mean, when we say it's for purely financial reasons, I don't think you can say that when someone's going to AC Milan.
Mm.
You know, had he signed for Newcastle for a whole whack of load of money, then you'd say maybe.
Sure.
I think what you have to say here is Matthew Flamini, he was 20 when he came over here. He upsticked from France to England. Now he's 24. He's got an incredible opportunity to shed loads of money, and he's doing the same. And this is what you get with players like him: is you get players who are upwardly mobile, who are prepared to go anywhere, who are prepared to do whatever, who, you know, who will settle anywhere, and are very good at doing that. On the flip side, you know, it means that you won't get, you know, they're not like Steven Gerrard, who's going to spend all his career at one club. And there are pros and cons on both sides. And, you know, frankly, I don't know what you think, but it seems to me some of the fans are getting really irate about it. I'm just slightly spiteful and slightly annoyed. I mean, you know, give the guy some credit. He's had a great season. He's going off to a great club for more money. Shit happens.
Well, yeah, I mean, you read people comparing him to Ashley Cole, and to me that's ludicrous. I mean, Cole was under contract. Cole lied about what it was that he was going to do, or what it was he had done. Went to meet Jose Mourinho, of all people, before we were playing Manchester United. So from Flamini's point of view, I see a guy that played really, really well this season, that we would have liked to have kept, but at the same time, a guy that we were prepared to let go to Birmingham last summer. He respected his contract and made the most of the situation. And so, I mean, I think if anybody should be angry, it should be at the Bosman ruling rather than the player who takes advantage of it.
Yeah, look, let's be brutal about this. Let's cut this down to its bare bones. Matthew Flamini's worth a lot of money. Matthew Flamini thinks he's very good. He is a very good player. He probably thinks he should deserve to be on the same as Cesc Fabregas. I think most of us probably don't think he deserves to quite be on the same as Cesc Fabregas. That's probably where, you know, that kind of dispute arises, and that's going to happen. And, you know, the likes of me, a couple of weeks ago, I said, oh, well, you might not find life is so easy over AC Milan, et cetera, et cetera. Looking back on that, if he'd thought the same, he said, oh, no, it might not be so easy AC Milan, I'm going to stay around Arsenal where it's easy. Well, we wouldn't really want that either. So you can't have it both ways, can you? You know, good luck to the guy, I'd say.
That's true, fair enough. Okay, so while the manager is talking about not losing Kleb and not losing Gilberto, let's look at a player perhaps that he seems to have a bit of a blind spot about, and that's Emmanuel Eboué. And I think most people would suggest that Eboué is probably a reasonably decent backup for a right-back position, if he doesn't play too many games in the season. But as a right winger, has been an abject failure this season. I saw your latest match report and your player ratings on it. He got 2 out of 10.
The guy is just utterly woeful. And I'm not sure whether Arsene's got a blind spot over him, because I think he moved him from right back because he realised he was, you know, rapidly becoming rubbish there. And I think that when he's got, once he's got the players, once, you know, Rizitsky's fit, Fled if he stays, Walcott now he's capable of, you know, kind of running with the football and stuff. You know, I don't think you'll see that much of Emmanuel Eboué, to be honest.
You're talking about Rizitsky being fit. I mean, that's a
I'm being ridiculous.
Well,
now,
happens? What happens if Rizitsky doesn't get fit and Kleb doesn't stay, and he sees Walcott maybe as an option up front? What happens on the right hand side of midfield then?
Well, I think Walcott can play on the wing. He's got this kid Vela. It wouldn't surprise me if he's talking about playing creative player. It wouldn't surprise me if we get another winger, because goal scoring wingers are quite important. If you look at all our title winning sides, they always had a really good goal scoring winner, whether it be Marwood or Limpar or Overmars or Pires or whoever. So, and we haven't got that this season. If you want an indication of maybe why we haven't won the league, it's because we didn't have, in games against Wigan or Middlesbrough or Villa, etc., we didn't have one of those wingers, a Freddie or a Pires, who'd pop up and just nab a goal. I think he'll find players. I think Aboué, it's a sad story, but not because you feel sad for the guy, because he's brought it entirely on himself. His attitude just absolutely stinks. You know, you can put up with it when a guy is just a bad player that tries really, really hard, and you can feel a little bit sorry for him. But when a guy's got talent, which he very clearly does, but just behaves on the pitch like an absolute idiot every time. And I mean, not even the most blinkered Arsenal fans at the ground or wherever are able to defend the guy. And blimey, we're a pretty loyal lot, really. And we can't, no one can defend him barely anymore. So it's quite ridiculous.
It is. What do you think of him? I'm with you. I mean, I think he's been played out of position. But again, his antics, his behaviour is crazy. I think the diving, just the lack of any footballing brain, well, any brain at all, it seems to me. And he seems to me the antithesis of an Arsene Wenger player. He likes his players to have this modicum of intelligence. They seem to be, you know, clever guys who, you know, Aboué just is the exact opposite of all of that. And I just can't understand it. To me, it's the biggest question mark over this season is why he's played so many games.
Yeah, no, fair point. All right. Fair point.
Speaking of the season, if we win against Sunderland on Sunday, we will finish with 83 points, which is a 15-point improvement over last season. I know everything and everybody is terribly disappointed because we came so close to winning the league. And when you look back on it with hindsight, it's easy to say we should have done this, should have done that. As a season, how would you sum it up? Are you, you know, disappointed to the point where you want to break everything up, or is it just a question of fine tuning for next season?
Look, if someone said at the start of the season you'll get either 80 or 83 points, we would have said, interesting. That's not so bad at all. The way it happened was really disappointing. I've been thinking long and hard about this, as I'm prone to do, and neglect thinking about other things that probably matter a bit more. But I've been trying to work out what happened. My new theory is that we basically hit a bad spot from the Birmingham game onwards for four games. And unfortunately, whereas normally you'd be able to kind of roll out of that, the next phase after that was that really tough period against United, Chelsea, Liverpool twice, etc. And we essentially went into that period on the ropes. We went in like a boxer who was already on the ropes, who was kind of punch drunk, if you like, who was kind of struggling. And if maybe we'd had our bad spots in January or something, we'd have had a few games to recover and really get into the Man U, Chelsea and Liverpool games. Because I don't actually think we played very badly in the Man U, Chelsea and Liverpool games. I thought we played quite well. We could so easily have got draws or even at Stamford Bridge and Anfield and a win at Old Trafford, frankly. And that would have done for us. And so I just, it's such tiny margins. Break it all up? No. I think you have to be kind of mad to suggest that.
Sunderland, 3 points.
I don't know. I can't say it honestly. For once in my life. Yeah, it doesn't actually matter, does it? All right, I'll predict that we'll probably draw or something.
All right, then.
But it doesn't really matter, doesn't it?
No, but it would be nice, of course, to finish on those 83 points. All right, good player. Thanks very much. We'll chat again soon.
Okay, thank you.
So thanks very much to Good Player from goodplayer.com. Do check out his blog. It is, of course, goodplayer.com with some WWWs in front of it, if you so desire. I tell you what we'll do now, though. We'll go to the bar where the man in the bar has got a player history.
There's the Arse blogger right there, so he is. I was reading your site during the week, so I was. You see, you've sold out to the old corporate dollar, you big fucking money-grabbing. Who are you? You're nothing better than Matthew Flamini, so you're not. Sure, I wouldn't blame you anyway. I'd do exactly the same. And my joy at this deal will indeed be reflected in my next invoice to you. Now, we're going to talk about an Arsenal player who, as a manager, is totally different from himself as a player. I'm talking, of course, about George Graham. Now, George Graham began his career at Aston Villa, only played a few games for them, and then he went to Chelsea.
And this began a little bit of a pattern in George's life, which we'll come to a bit later on. After playing about 70 league games for Chelsea and scoring about 35 goals, he moved to Arsenal in 1966. It cost £75,000, and I assume all of that money went to the club. His nickname was Stroller because he was an elegant kind of a midfielder. He wouldn't be exactly what you might call one of those tracking back a lot fellas. He liked to do his stuff and then stand there watching while everybody else got the ball back for him to do his stuff again. Of course, he was part of the great 1970-71 team that won the double and even tried to claim the goal that was credited to Eddie Kelly in the cup final against Liverpool. Himself and Kelly, best of friends before that, were the mortalest of all mortal enemies afterwards, and one day after training, shocked teammates had to break up a sword fight between the pair going up and down the Caledonian Road. He left Arsenal in 1972 and then went to play for Manchester United, you see, and this is where this pattern of behaviour comes in. After that, he played for Portsmouth and Crystal Palace and became a manager of Millwall. Are you beginning to see the pattern yet? Leaving aside his time at Arsenal from 1986 till the day he was frog-marched out of his office in 1995, he then went on to manage Leeds United and Tottenham Hotspurs. So while George might have been a fine player for the Arsenal, he had a weakness. I suppose you could almost call it an illness, couldn't you? Apart from being with Arsenal, he pretty much surrounded himself with cunts the whole rest of his life. It's kind of sad when you think about it. Nowadays, George appears as a pundit sometimes on the old pay-per-view TV. Otherwise, he does experiments in the laboratory at his stately home, where, after rounding up sleeping tramps from the streets of London, he sets them on fire and sees how long it takes them to die. It's true.
The man in the bar will have another player history on next week's Arsecast. Now, to talk a little bit more about this Ole Ole thing, I don't really know what more to say about it beyond what I said on the blog. It's very rare, I think, that a person gets an opportunity to do something that they really love doing, or indeed to make a living doing what it is that they really love to do. When I started Arseblog 6 years ago, the furthest thing from my mind was making a living at it, or even making any money at it. It was a hobby, and it was a very part-time hobby, and it's has grown over the years, as you all know. Many of you have been here from the very start, and you've seen how many more visitors it gets and all that sort of stuff. So when this chance came up, I really had to think very carefully about it, because I'm very aware that there is a special kind of a community on Arseblog. We have the people that comment on the arses every day, and these are people, as I said in the blog, that they chat all day long. Very little of it has to do with what I write on the blog each morning, which is probably a good thing. But there's this interaction that goes on all day, and that's been going for years now. And on the forums, and I know that many of you would like to join the forums, but I keep the forums closed for a reason. And that's because the more people you have in a forum, the more difficult it becomes to manage, the more clashes of personality there are, and the more fucking painful it becomes for everybody who's on there. So from time to time, I do sort of let people in on recommendation from other people, etc., etc., but for the most part, I keep it closed. And I was very aware that becoming part of oleole.com might put some pressure on me to open those things up or what have you. Now, to be fair to them, they were really, really very good, and they were very aware as well that what Arseblog is more than a blog. It's more than writing every morning. It's more than traffic. It's more than users. There is something special about Arseblog, about the community that exists online and offline, because people go to matches together, they sell tickets to each other, they hang out together, they drink together. I believe some of them even have sex together. So that was something that I was very keen for it not to be damaged in any way. And oleole.com recognized that, and have allowed me to maintain a measure of control over the site, over what I write. And that's another point I'd like to address, is that, you know, it's not going to change. What I write or how I write it won't change. There'll be no censorship. There'll be no, you can't say that because we're this or that or the other. It will not change. The look of the blog will be practically the same. There might be a little bit of ole ole branding at the top and at the bottom, but generally it's going to look exactly the same on Monday as it did on Friday or Saturday or Sunday or the day before. It's going to feel, look and feel the same as it did. We're going to do all the same kind of things. The Arscast will continue. Now, there'll be occasional columns from Safety and other people. The A&R section will have gotten a facelift, and hopefully I can convince Leopold Mendacious to, you know, get back behind the keyboard a bit and start doing some stuff on the real A&R. So my primary concern when they came to me with this deal was to ensure that what Arsblog is wouldn't be damaged. And what Arsblog can be in the future can be enhanced, because it means now that I've got more time to devote to the site and hopefully more time to do new things. What those new things are yet, I don't quite know. I don't even have any ideas yet. I have to sit down and have a good think about it, because all the concentration at the moment is getting it moved over and all that sort of stuff. The principal difference, I suppose, will be the URL. What was arsblog.com will become arsblog.oleole.com. You should update your bookmarks, I suppose, from Monday, but, you know, if you just want to put in arsblog.com, it will redirect you to the site. It is, I suppose, an opportunity that I just couldn't turn down. To make your living writing a blog about Arsenal, fucking dream come true territory. It really is. It really is. I understand as well that there are people that would have concerns about, you know, being taken over by conglomerates, American corporations, etc., etc., etc. But I would ask you to put yourself in my position, that having done something for 6 years for free, to have given that much of your time every day, every week, every month, every year. Remember, it's 365 days a year, Arsblog. Saturdays and Sundays. Tom is brilliant, and if I want to go on holidays every now and again, Tom will fill in. But sometimes I blog from holidays. So to have done that for 6 years, to now be offered wages every month to go and do what it is that I love doing, what it was that I was doing for free, how can you turn that down? How can you turn that down? So that's pretty much all I want to say on it. Thank you to everybody who emailed with messages of support and congratulations. All very appreciated. I did try and reply to them all. I'm quite sure that you'll still enjoy Arsblog, because Arsblog is going to be Arsblog. It might be in a different place. It might have a slightly different URL, but Arsblog will always remain Arsblog. Oleole.com is a really fantastic looking site. It's something I'd urge you to take a look at. In terms of the functionality of the site, it really is state of the art. I think it's got the potential to be a really, really huge site. It is, I suppose, trying to be for football fans what MySpace is for music fans. Now, I know football is a little bit more divisive, I should say, that you're not necessarily going to get Manchester United fans coming over to the Arsenal section, etc., etc. But all these people can live in peace and harmony in the one place. And there's some really great features. The best thing, I think, on the site is the wiki sort of thing. So you can go to the Arsenal page, click on a player, and you can click on, you know, his details, his wiki, which you can populate with information, of course. Now, we know what wiki is like, and people can get a bit vandalistic, but we'll stay on top of that. But as a resource then to find out about footballers, how many goals did Kleb not score this season, how many times did Aboué get booked, etc., 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 is a really fantastic thing. So do take some time to explore the Ole Ole site. And that's really about all I can say on it, other than thank you to everybody down the years, all 6 years since Arsblog has been going, for visiting the site, for supporting the site, for commenting, for being a member of the forums, for sending emails, entering competitions, whatever it is that you've done for the site. I really, really do appreciate it, because without you, this wouldn't have happened for me. So thanks a lot. That's it.
Welcome to Tales of the Unexpected on the Ozblog Ozcast.
Hello, my name is George, and I've got another tale of the unexpected. This week I was in Manchester trying to sell 3 donkeys, but nobody wanted the donkeys. If you'd like a donkey, just let me know. But I was in a nightclub toilet when in walked Cristiano Ronaldo. Then, when I was washing the piss off me hands, I bumped into him ever so slightly, and he didn't fall on the ground, crying and screaming and rolling around like a bitch. That was unexpected to me.
Another tale of the unexpected from George on next week's Arscast. Who knows what he'll be selling and where he'll be. I'm not sure I'd ever like to meet George, especially not in a nightclub toilet. Just saying. So one more game left to play this season, and then it's all over. Sad. Sunderland away it is. Roy Keane has said his players won't be allowed to go on a lap of honour, which is, you know, I think a bit harsh. They did well this season, Sunderland, didn't they? They stayed up, and it's not so much a lap of honour, but maybe to say thanks to all their fans. But anyway, that's not our problem. We'll be going there with some, I suppose, inexperience. Arsene Wenger talking about Kieran Gibbs starting and possibly Mark Randall in midfield as well. We know that Cesc is out injured. Flamini won't be playing because, he's going to sign for AC Milan. Hleb won't be playing. Rosicki won't be playing. Diaby won't be playing. Eduardo won't be playing. Van Persie, we don't know anything about just yet. And at the back, I don't know. Who's he going to play at the back? I suppose Philippe Senderos and Giroud might come in for the final game of the season. Traore at the back. Fabianski will start and go. And of course, the big question is, where will he play Eboué?
Now it's time to be at home with Emmanuel Eboué. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to my home. I am Eboué. Eboué like Arsenal right back. Top 3 Eboué Arsenal right back. Number 1, Pat Rice. And Eboué not say this just because Pat Rice number 2 boss man. Number 2, Oleg Luzhny. Eboué like player that remind Eboué of animal. Luzhny wonderful horse moose crossover is crazy Ukrainian morse. Number 3, Eboué right back, Lauren. Because Lauren say he strangle Eboué if Eboué not say Lauren. So Lauren, number 1 forever. Go, Lauren. I love Lauren. Yeah. Please go now.
Tune in next week for more At Home with Eboué. Oh, baby.
I suppose the other big question is trying to find somewhere to actually see this game on Sunday. It is Sunday, isn't it? One sec. Yeah, it is Sunday. Just clicking. I knew it was Sunday. But you know, when you say something, sometimes you go, is it? Hang on a second, I'm not 100% sure, even though you are. But there's a little party that goes, no. I call it the Ben Kingsley part. Now. Maybe that's just me, is it? You don't have one of those? All right then. But anyway, fingers crossed we can end the season on a high note with a win, with some young players in the team, and that none of our players get their ankle broken like what happened to Diaby there a couple of seasons back. Let's hope that, will we? Yes, indeed. All right, so for this week's Arscast, that's just about the size of it. Talk to you next week on the blog, of course, and on next week's Arscast as well. So until then, take it easy, have a great weekend, and thanks for being Arsblog people. Bye.
Hello, this is Jens Lehmann with an emotional goodbye to the Arsenal fans. As you know, I'm a very emotional person, and it's very difficult for me to express what it is I'm feeling at the moment. So I'd like to sing a little song, if I might. Goodbye, Arsenal, my old friend. I'll never play for you again. I will not shout at William Gallas or kick a boy in the ass. But there's something I'd like to say before I go. And it is this. I'm going to fucking kill Manuel Almunia one day. I swear to God, I'll break his fucking face. I will wait until I'm retired many years, and I will track him down, and I will kill the cunt where he sleeps. Jens never forgets.